Hey, welcome again to Belmont. I am Pastor John. It is so wonderful to be here. So we are entering into the Christmas season, all right? Everybody say Merry Christmas. Yeah, so sometimes at Christmas time we think about what we can get, right? Like, what is it that I'm going to get? How is Christmas going to be? What are my expectations for this year, for my gift list? I hope everybody understands that this is all about me, right? But today I'm actually going to be bringing a message called Give It to God. Everybody say, Give It to God. All right, one more time.
Give it to God.
Yeah, that's what we want to do today, is we want to give it to God, because I'll tell you this, everything about your Christmas is not going to go the way you planned, right? Things are going to get off track. Things are going to get off beat. Things are going to not work the way they're supposed to. You'll probably be sending some stuff back, right? Some things that you thought were going to work some kind of a way, and they just didn't go that way. And so we're doing this Christmas series called A Life-Giving Christmas. That is a Christmas that is hopefully one that's going to fill you up with the abundant life that Jesus talked about. You know, Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? Life. And that you might have it to the full, to the max, abundantly. You might have the kind of life that you were supposed to live. The problem, though, is for a lot of us, it's easy to slip into a life that's just kind of existing, right? It's not really life that's full and rich and meaningful. It's life that you're just trying to make it to the next day. Can I get an amen? Ever had one of those? So you're just like, it's easy to get false expectations about what Christmas is going to be, although Christmas, we celebrate it because it is about life. It is about the life that was born in that manger 2,000 years ago, but even more importantly, it is about the life that would be given to you and me because of that life, because as that life grew up, became a man, and gave himself as a sacrifice, now you and I are actually able to have real life, true life, eternal life. And so we want this to be, for all of us, a life-giving Christmas. Not a Christmas that's draining, that's boring, that's dead, that's filled with false expectations and letdowns. But I think if we approach it the right way, then we can have truly a life-giving Christmas. And so today's message is titled, Give It to God, and I'm going to encourage us to give it to God, all right? I'm going to encourage us to give Him our sin, to give Him our situations, and to also give Him our submission, and we're going to see that in Matthew chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you took on flesh, that you left the beauty of heaven, and you came to this broken, fallen earth, full of broken and sinful people, to become the greatest gift that we could ever have. And so, Lord, as we enter into this season and as we start this series today, God, I pray that you would just pour life into this place, pour life into our hearts and our souls, our minds, our bodies, that you would fill us up with you. And God, I pray that we would find you enough, that we would find you satisfying and pleasing. And we pray this in Christ's name, and God's people said, amen. Everybody say, give it to God. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 go like this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, I'm guessing he was considering them quite a bit, tossing and turning in the middle of the night, wondering, what in the world has happened? I can't believe what Mary is telling me. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, probably Gabriel, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The first thing I want to encourage us to do this holiday season, this Christmas season, we see it there in verses 18 through 21, is give it to God by giving him your sin. Now, you might be sitting here this morning going, well, that's a terrible gift. Why would I want to give somebody my sin, right? Can you imagine going to one of those Christmas exchanges where you bring a gift, maybe a white elephant, and everybody's got these little gifts wrapped up and they're passing them around, and lo and behold, someone opens up your gift and it's a list and pictures of all the sins you've ever done before? How excited would that person be to get that? Probably not that excited, like, thank you so much. Your sin, it's what I wanted. No, not at all. It's not what I want to get. It's supposed to be a gag gift, right? But not that bad of a gag gift. And so there's this great exchange that happens, though, at the point of salvation where we receive a gift from the Lord Jesus. It's the gift of life, the gift of righteousness. And in turn, we give him a gift, and it's the gift of our sin. And so we see in this passage that the angel comes and he's talking to Gabriel, and Gabriel's pondering in his mind and he's wondering, well, everybody in our town is going to think that we sinned. And this is shameful that this woman who is betrothed to be married to me is now pregnant, and I'm going to divorce her quietly and put her away. But the angel tells him, don't do that thing, because this is a special child who's been conceived by the Holy Spirit. No human man was involved in the formation of this child. This child is a one-of-a-kind child because he is the God-man. And you're going to do this, Joseph. You're going to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. And that's what we get from the name Jesus, actually. And that's why they called him Jesus, because he was going to save his people from their sins. And so that's why he was born. That's why Mary was pregnant. That's why she gave birth. That's why they took care of this child and raised him up, so that eventually even Joseph himself, who was celebrating, if you will, this very first Christmas, right? In the stable, with the animals, with his wife, with the manger, would one day need to place his faith and his trust in his stepson, right? In the God-man, in Jesus, so that his sins could be forgiven. You and I need to do the same thing. You might think, well, this is kind of a drag. This is not the way I really wanted to enter into the Christmas season. It's talking about my sin and my brokenness. But how many of us could honestly say pretty easily this morning, I'm a messed up person? Anybody just say, I'm pretty messed up. Before I met Jesus especially, I was a pretty messed up person. The truth is that all of us live in a fallen world. We live in a place that used to be so wonderful, beyond our imagination, so amazing. And all of us made in the image of God would live in this wonderful, glorious place that he created. But then sin crept into the world. We took the bait. We became sinful people. And now the whole thing is just shattered, it's broken, and we live under this curse of sin. So really, truly, the right way to enter into the Christmas season, if you're a non-believer, if you're a person who's perhaps considering the claims of Christ, you realize that your life is not what it's supposed to be, and that it needs to be something different, and that there's got to be more to be living for, and there's more beyond this life. The most important thing that you could do today would be to receive the gift of salvation that God has made available to you. And I guarantee you that this would be the most amazing Christmas you've ever had. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death, not life, right? We want a life-giving Christmas. But the payment or the wages for our sin is actually death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The message of salvation is a simple message that we here at Belmont love to hear time and time again. It is that once we were lost, but now we are found. Once we were broken and messed up and sinful and could not save ourselves, but we know that we were born as spiritual beings made for eternity, and that the God of heaven has provided a way, a free gift, so that you and I could have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when that happened to us, we became new creatures in Christ. And we as Christians should never get tired of hearing that. That should be like a present that we get to wake up to every single day. And every time we talk about it, it should bring joy to our hearts to go, there was a time in my life where I was blind and I couldn't see spiritually. But now I came alive and everything has been made brand new. And I know that my eternal destiny is with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is something that doesn't get old. That's something that should always stay fresh for us. But even for those of us who have already experienced that free gift and we've received that, there is the chance that in our lives, sin could creep back in. And so I want to talk about giving him your sin from that perspective. You know, the psalmist says this in Psalm 51, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Later in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, if you're here and you're a believer today, and you're living in a lifestyle of sin, you're not going to have the life-giving Christmas that God would want you to have. And you're not going to be living that fulfilled Christian life that God wants you to live. Because we as redeemed people who have been set free from the curse of sin cannot continue to walk in sin, play with sin, live in sin, and expect God's blessings on our life. We just can't do it. There was this time, I confess, where I was watching this zombie movie. Anybody into like the whole zombie thing out there? One person. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. And that was like a half raise, right? Just kind of waiting to see if anybody else did it. But, all right. Give them your sin. Now, if you're into zombie movies, raise your hand. All right. Loud and proud. There you go. I see you now. So, I was watching this zombie movie, and I forget what was going on exactly, but there was all these zombies in the no man's land, right? And there was these regular people who hadn't gotten across. They were trying to get from point A to point B. And in between were all these zombies, like the Walking Dead, right? And they're like, how are we going to get across to the other side? This is disgusting. So they take like old zombie parts and stuff like that and like rub them on their body so they stink. Like they have the stench of zombie death on them. And they have like zombie clothes on them. And they just kind of make themselves look and smell like these zombies, right? And so they're like scared because they're not sure if this is going to work or not. And so they take a step out of the building where they're at in safety. And they start walking through like zombies, waiting to see if they get recognized and to get bitten or whatever's going to happen. And lo and behold, the trick actually worked. They walked out and the zombies didn't recognize them. They thought they were walking dead people just like they were. And they were able to get safely through to the other side. The sad truth is that for many of us, a lot of times our daily life looks like we are just walking dead. Like we have the smell and the stench of the world rubbed all over us, into our skin, covering us with their clothing, and can't really tell what's dead and what's alive. My prayer for you this week is that you would have the most amazing, life-giving Christmas that you've ever had. But in order to do that, the Bible says that we'll have to take off that old clothing, that old way of life, and put that away and put on the new man, put on the new clothing that God has provided so that you could live not by the standards of this world, not by what the world says you should have or do or be, but to be exactly who it is that God has called you to be. Amen. That might mean for some of us that, as the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any grievous way in me." And so this morning and today, this week, I want to encourage you to be a person who would be brave enough to say, "Lord, search my heart." Perhaps even right now, as I'm speaking about this, you might go, I don't even need to pray about it, Pastor. I know what it is right now in my heart, in my soul. I know what it is that God's been asking me already to put down, to take off, to cast away, to stop enjoying, and to grab for life instead of death. So let me encourage you this week just to allow God, to allow the Holy Spirit to search you, and then for you to give him your sin, because that's not something that you have to bear anymore. Jesus already bore that for you at the cross. Amen. He already took that from you. You don't have to take that back and live that lifestyle anymore. Instead, you could have a life-giving Christmas. So not only do we want to have a life-giving Christmas by giving him our sin, but we want to give him our situation, right? Because sometimes our situations can be overwhelming. So you might say, "Pastor, right now, honestly, I feel good. Maybe I'm not the person struggling with sin. I'm trying to walk in holiness and righteousness and walk with the Lord and be in his word. But I tell you what, in spite of that, I just got some stuff going on, right? I just got some just stuff that's just happening to me, and I don't know what to do with that." Well, let's go ahead and go on to the next verse. It says this in verse 22. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." That's the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Give him your situation. If you flip back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 10, you'll see that the prophecy that's being talked about here by this angel, 700 years prior, had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah, and he's talking to the king, to King Ahaz. And so he says this, "Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz by Isaiah and said, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.'" False humility there. "And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, whether you want it or not. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.'" What's going on in this situation is that the kingdom of Israel has been divided in two, and there's this northern kingdom, and Ahaz is the king of Judah. And at the moment, he's got three different nations that are coming against him. Nations from down in the north, Israel and then Syria, had teamed up together, and they were trying to do battle with the Assyrians, which were north of where he was. And so they said, "Hey, Ahaz, join up with us, and we're going to fight the Assyrians together." And Ahaz is like, "I don't know about that. We're really, really small nation, and we're the closest to the Assyrians. You guys are further away. It's not really beneficial for us to get in the middle of this thing." So Ahaz takes matters into his own hands, and he begins to send money up north to the Assyrians and says, "Hey, why don't you fight? We're going to help fund you, and you fight these guys that are down below us, and then we're just going to stay out of the middle of it. So he panicked, and instead of searching the Lord, he actually was not a good thing. In fact, the only good thing he ever did really was to have a son who actually went on to become a really good king. And so Ahaz in this moment is approached by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah says, "Hey, what you need to do in this moment is trust the Lord, and he will save you. He will rescue you in this situation. All you got to do is ask for a sign. He'll give you the sign that you can know that you can trust in him. But instead, Ahaz is like, tries to kind of play it off like he's being super spiritual, right? He's like, no, I don't want to test the Lord. I don't want a sign. Really what he was saying is, I don't want that sign because I've already decided how I'm going to handle the situation that I'm in. But Isaiah was trying to tell him, you don't have to be afraid of your situation because God is with you. And as a sign, there's going to be a baby born, and they're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then Gabriel shows up, and he's talking to Joseph 700 years later, and he says, hey, guess what? Remember what the prophet Isaiah said? Joseph's probably familiar with the passage. And he said, the baby that your soon-to-be wife is carrying is Emmanuel, is God with us. God is taking on flesh, becoming a little baby, so that we can know that God is with us. And he was going to grow up and he was going to be this high priest that now we all will be able to come to. And he's a high priest that knows what we've gone through. He is with us. I say all that to say this. Give God your situation this Christmas, right? Give God your situation. You know, a lot of times you and I are people who like to fix things themselves. Do I have any fixers in the house, right? You fix it first, then ask God to bless it. Ever happened to you? Oh, I got this thing figured out, Lord. Yeah, this problem happened. I'm right in the middle of it. Things are down and out. But you're busy. This is just a mid-grade problem. So instead of worrying you about it, instead of asking for a sign, instead of praying and asking for a way out, I'm going to work, try to get this figured out. Talk to these people. Try to make everything work out just the way I want it to. And then I'll say like a 10-second prayer at the end of it, and hopefully you'll bless it and you'll be in it. When it's so much better, and we've seen all through the scriptures, where when we give the situation to God first of all, he gives us peace in our hearts to know that he is with us, that he is there to see us through. Philippians chapter 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so you and I have the benefit this Christmas season of knowing that God is with us. That in our situation, even this morning, actually, I was playing back through these things in my mind, and I was getting ready to leave the house, and my daughter, Nora, comes in, and she's like, hey, Dad, we've got a situation. I'm like, it's really not a good time. Sunday morning's not a good time for situations, right? I'm trying to be holy and worship right now. Could you not bother me with real life situations? She's like, Dad, the roof's leaking. Like, there's water pouring into my bedroom right now. You might want to come check this out. I'm like, you go. I'm going to pray first and ask God to fix this thing, right? No, at first I go in there and run in. Where is it? Oh, it's in the closet. Oh, no, this is not a good time. Lord, why? Why the rain, right? And so I have a project already waiting for me when I get home today to figure out where this water is coming from. But our first reaction is always just to take care of it ourselves, right? Instead of remembering, especially during the Christmas season, that God is with us, that we are not on our own out here in this fallen and broken world. We've been given new life when we gave him our sin and he gave us his righteousness. But beyond that, it's not just for salvation, it's also for living the abundant life, right? So every situation that comes along, what we need to do, and they're going to come along even during this month of December, the situations are going to happen. Let me encourage you to be proactive this week and just say, no matter what happens, the first thing I'm going to do is just stop and pray and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen in this situation, but Lord Jesus, I'm just giving it to you right now. I want to Christmas that's full of life, that fills me up with you. And this is more than just Christmas. It's actually a lifestyle. So God, I'm going to give you this situation, ask you to have your will and your way. Give me your wisdom so I can know what to do. And then, yes, beyond that, do what he tells you to do. You'll have to take action. You'll have to move into action and do the things that need to be done. But the very first thing we need to do is to give God our situation. Last but not least, we need to give him our submission, right? We need to give it to God. Verse 24 says this. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And what did he do? He called his name Jesus. You see, in those days, it was a really popular thing to do, to name your son after you, right? Or to name your son after somebody in your family. And so Jesus was probably not a name that was in Joseph's downline, right? It wasn't part of his genealogy. He probably didn't have an uncle named Jesus. But the angel had told him, you're going to name him Jesus. And when the time came, he had gone from the sin, the situation, to now submission, to say, guess what? When it comes down to it, even to the big things in life of what you're going to name your child, what your child is going to be called, and what his destiny is going to be, I'm giving you my yes. I'm going to live a life of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a message for you and I, super loud and clear this Christmas season, is that we need to enter into the Christmas season giving God our yes, saying okay to what he calls us to do. And surely there's going to be some times where we're going to hear from him and we're going to hear him speaking into our lives, and our first reaction is going to be, no, I must be hearing that wrong. I don't think you want me to do that. There's been situations in my and Christy's life where God has called us to do some things that, honestly, in our flesh, we just didn't want to do. Right? You get that nudge from the Lord, and he's like, hey, I want you to go and bless this family and help them out in this way. And you're like, I thought that blessing was for us, right? No, I just want you to pass it on to them and bless them. I'm like, you know, really, God, let's think about this. Let's talk this out, you know? Because it's been a little tight for us lately. Why should we be going over there? And you'll try to argue with God and get into debate with him. And is that ever going to work out? No, I mean, are you going to win that? Is God going to be like, you know what? Wes, now that I talked it over with you, I'm seeing your point of view. Maybe my ways aren't higher than your ways. Nah, that's not going to happen. So the bent of our heart, the attitude of our heart should always be to give God our yes. That might mean for some that you need to stay in a situation that you want to be out of. That might mean for others that you need to pass along a blessing to somebody else that you weren't counting on. That might mean that you need to let go of some dreams that you have for your life and some desires that you want for yourself and say yes to the life that God has for you. You see, Joseph's plan wasn't God's plan. Joseph's plan was to marry this nice young lady and to have a family and children together, not to be part of some greater plan of redemption that was going to all of a sudden cast him into the spotlight and have people in their town talking and whispering and going, what is going on with this couple and where did this baby come from? And to be chased by kings and to be chased out of your homeland and to have to totally turn around the life that you had planned. But Joseph said yes. You and I as Christians are not called to just go through this life day by day and look just like the world and achieve all the American dream that you want to achieve and then just tack on there a little bit of Jesus and just tack on there a little bit of Sunday's church service and then you're pretty good to go. That's a sweet deal, right? Do everything you want to do and then add a little bit of Jesus on top. That can seem tempting and fulfilling, but I guarantee you that that is actually a recipe to drain the life out of you. That is actually a recipe to trade in the joys and the treasures that God has for you, and instead to grab on to the treasures of the world, what we should do instead is just keep an open hand with God and say, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to receive it. And whatever you want to take out of my life that I don't need to have, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to submit. I'm going to obey. And when I do that, I will actually have a life and a Christmas that's full of life, that's full of God's goodness, that's full of more than anything that you could find on Amazon's best picks, right? Anything that Amazon finds for you and throws up, it's never going to be as fulfilling as what God has already provided for you as His child. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much.